You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Professor Richard Epstein of the Civitas Institute, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. Wednesday just passed, the U.S. Court of International Trade's surprise ruling delivered a blow to the president's tariff plans, writes the Financial Times, and drew a backlash from the White House, which accused judges of, quote, judicial overreach. And then on Thursday, a federal appeals court gave Mr. Trump's global tariff plans a temporary reprieve, writes the Financial Times, pausing a ruling that he claimed underlined his Liberation Day levies. In a ruling, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the federal court granted the temporary stay until further notice. On Wednesday, we're going this way. On Thursday, we're going this way. Here it is Friday, Professor. Where are we going now? Good evening to you.
Well, I think we're going to the Supreme Court, and probably more quickly than not. The issue here is too big for anybody to ignore. The decision below, far from being a judicial overreach, was one of the easiest cases in terms of its legal merits that you could possibly imagine. The person who's going bananas on this is Trump, and his level of ignorance about this subject has now become transcendent. That is, he cannot be trusted. He does not understand what he's doing. He lashes out at people in a vicious and a kind of ugly way. He's not fit to serve as president of the United States, given his current mental posture and composition. Now, let me just say what the case is about. There are a series of statutes which are designed to give the government the power to intervene in markets when there are massive sudden events that lead to displacement. So if you have a market in tin and it turns out one country's supply has been destroyed by a hurricane and the market prices are about to gyrate 100 or 200%, the government can decide, well, we're going to have a pause on this in order to allow for some stabilization to take place. The emergency that you're talking about is something that probably starts in 1 minute and lasts an hour or two or three. Trump's emergencies are essentially chronic conditions of the United States that he disagrees with, where his understanding of the tariff issue is inexcusably stupid. It's the only word to describe him. And what he's saying is, well, this is emergency started somewhere around 1950 or maybe 1776. And what I'm entitled to do is to invoke emergency authorities to impose a massive schemes on tariffs. And it's trying to try out what's the sudden peril to life or liberty that's involved. That's the claim that he's making under the statute. Josh Claiborne and my friend and colleague, Michael McConnell, wrote a magnificent brief on this subject, which I was proud to sign, in which they expose everything that was wrong with the decision with respect to its constitutional pedigree. They did not get into, as was appropriate in this case, anything about the lunatic economics behind the Trump kind of position. And the decision was unanimous. And then the next day he starts lashing out at the Federalist Society and Leonard Leo because he said, they told me bad advice when they appointed judges. The man who has derangement now is Trump. He has simply lost his mind, and people have to say it publicly and often. You may agree with particular decisions that he has made, but he's not fit to be president of the United States in his current mind.
As I understand it, Richard, the emphasis here is on the branches of government and encroaching each other's authority. The first article of the Constitution is the legislature, which I believe I've learned from you means that it is dominant in any conversation between the three of them. And the court, the third branch, always defers to the legislature if it has acted. In this instance, the president, the executive branch, the second article, has presumed powers that properly in the Constitution belong in the first branch. And I believe the court is noticing that. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it slightly differently on technical grounds, but generally speaking, Congress has the power to raise taxes and to impose levies. And it does create statutes which delegate limited powers to the president. And what happens is these sudden emergencies are cases in which you do not have time for Congress to act because it's an hour or two makes a difference between life and death in a financial market. But the things he's talking about are not emergencies, they're chronic conditions where, in fact, there are pluses and minuses in the American situation. But the idea that we have to have delicate negotiations on a bilateral basis so as to even up the balance of trade between any two randomly chosen countries is economic madness. And he simply doesn't understand that in a global market, the only stable arrangements are multilateral. Everybody has got to get in them. So what the court did is it read the statute, it read the history, it read the prior legislation, it read his particular documentation, and there is not an honest judge on the face of the globe who could disagree with any of those opinions. This is not the kind of case which says, oh, the conservatives will go this way and the liberals will go that way. This is the kind of case which is so open and shut that what the president should have done when it came down is said, I'm sorry, I violated the law, I will not do it. As far as I'm concerned, impeachment is not on the table for political reason, but this is a massive abuse of presidential power in two directions. One, as Congress doesn't authorize him to do something, he doesn't care. And then two, when the courts say you can't do something, he doesn't care. And so he doesn't believe in judicial review, and he doesn't believe in congressional power. And so he believes that the executive, him, has dictatorial powers over every major decision in the United States. And this is simply not acceptable that a president of the United States should make these kinds of statements, make them in public, and then starting personal vicious attacks on the people who disagree with them. This is utterly abominable conduct on his part. And I'm not a particular Democrat, as you know, and I've always criticized Biden. And if you recall on this show, every time somebody wanted to bring a criminal prosecution against Trump, I was against those prosecutions and remain against them. But his performance since he's been prisoner is worse than abysmal in the way in which he's dealt with these issues.
Let's not talk about his talk. Let's talk about his actions. His actions are to start these bilateral negotiations, chiefly China. All right, let's get to it. China. This is about a contest with China. We have a headline about that right now. The results of Mr. President and his intentions. Donald Trump accuses China of violating U.S. tariff traffic. Truce. U.S. has warned talks with Beijing are stalled 2 weeks after reaching a deal to temporarily lower duties. Hence, we can conclude they're stalled because China reads the headlines. The unconstitutional, says the court, the illegal, says the court, means that China doesn't need to enter into negotiations with the Trump administration. Is that correct, Professor?
Well, if I were the Chinese, I would say if he doesn't have the particular power, then there's no point in making a deal with him, which will be nullified.
Right.
And he just simply doesn't understand the fact that he has to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, meaning that when other people have responsibilities, his job as president is not to berate them, but to make sure that they do their job. And when these courts are doing their jobs, what he should do is defend them and respect them. So what he is essentially is an open revolt against the entire system of checks and balances, which has guided this country from its founding period. And he may be right on this, that, or the other issue. I certainly would defend him on much of the DEI stuff, the control of the southern border. But this is simply inexcusable kind of behavior. And if the importance is you will never get an impeachment, although that is certainly warranted by his behavior thus far. But the most important thing for the courts to understand is the normal presumption that's given in favor of executive and legitimacy cannot be given to a president who has systematically flouted the law. And so if you go back and start looking at Curtis Wright and the great foreign affairs cases of 1936 and so forth, the rule said the president has pretty much a free hand on foreign affairs. That's been cut back some since then. But with Trump as president, there is no presumption of legitimacy because he has said so many outrageous things, done so many senseless things since he's become president of the United States, that he has to be treated essentially as an outcast and judged with a presumption of guilt with respect to everything that he does or says.
Process, Professor, quickly, because we have other matters to attend. The U.S. Court of Appeals says for now, pause for now until further notice. What does that mean mechanically? Where's the decision? Are they weighing it again? Are they going to write longer, or do they pass it on to another court?
Nobody knows. We're in terra incognita. But the basic notion is this is a major situation, and the authority of a lower court is not sufficient in terms of institutional legitimacy to make it stand. So it has to go higher. The Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, which deals with these matters, is a specialized court in D.C. that does a lot of stuff, for example, with patents and so forth, is not going to be the final authority on this question. So they want to bump it up to the Supreme Court. So my best guess is that what they should say is, look, don't ask us to decide this case on the merits. Just simply push it right up to the Supreme Court right now and have everybody argue it one way or another. Now, the government briefs on these things are lame and ineffective. The Supreme Court, for the most part, has shown at least some degree of independence on this, and they should be praised for that. And they should show more independence on this. There is no way you could read these statutes, read the legislative history, read the Trump orders, and assume that he is within 1,000 miles of having
looked at this type of position. Now, Richard, you have taught me that this court especially is sensitive to whether it's Congress or not. Very sensitive.
Yes.
It is very reluctant to get involved in anything Congress has said and always defers to Congress. That seems ready-made for this argument.
Well, if you want to defer to Congress, it's certain that Mr. Trump did not defer to Congress. Correct. He just basically took the statutes out. That's why the opinion was so powerful, and the brief was so powerful that I signed. I didn't write, but I signed. It's because it used completely conventional, Monday, everyday arguments. This was not some exotic, crazy theory that was put forward. This is right down the middle of the plate. This goes to the heart of American constitutionalism. And I cannot see how any Supreme Court justice who reads their record can reverse the decision that was made before. They'll incur Trump's wrath, but that's part of the job. And everybody has to push back against now. So the entire sort of conservative movement, limited government, libertarian, social conservatives, whatever, who are not Trump people, are all solidly against it. That's why it's easy to put together a coalition that is essentially on both sides of the aisle to fight him. There are going to be other issues, like, for example, the environmental case that came down yesterday, where it turns out this was about a Biden decision, so it doesn't affect Trump. And the American left will scream that the country's about to die. And I would support a decision like that. Indeed, I wrote a brief with my friend Mario Lollard, basically telling the court that they did the right thing. So what happens is the point here is not the merits of individual decisions. It's the fitness of a man to hold office. And when he makes mistakes that are as egregious as the one in this particular case, then, in fact, they have to act. There is no way consistent with their judicial duty that they could back Trump on this. The man doesn't care about the courts. He doesn't care about Congress. That makes him into a dictator in the making.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Civitas Institute teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Hey, everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping, too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.